Welcome to Campbell Bible Church to our digital service. Thank you for joining us today. Now today we are back in Romans chapter 12, and let me remind you that if you have missed the last couple of sermons, to please consider going back and listening to those in this mini series because they are all connected. Now before I get into the message today, let me begin by addressing some concerns that came out of the news for the week. This world is divided, but not by a political party, as some of you may think. No, the world is divided by good and evil. There is a war that is constantly in motion, a spiritual war between God and Satan. And the Bible tells us that Satan will not win the war, although it may seem that he does win some smaller battles. Mankind is stuck in the middle of this war, and there is collateral damage on both sides. Now, Satan, our enemy, leads the charge with those who are still chained to their sin, those who are lost, who have a veil over their eyes, and who cannot see the truth. He fights against God by attempting to undo all of the good God does in the lives of gospel believers, those of us who have been unshackled from our sin, who stand for God's truth. Now, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 reminds us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Now, it would be a terrible mistake for us today to point fingers and to set blame against a group of people or things to watch out for by a particular political party. Now, I've seen and heard so many things in the last few days, even from Christians, about distancing yourself from people who may be evil or who may cause harm. And just so you know, I'm not against self-defense or you protecting your family, but I am against all of the Christians moving away from the people of this world. Because God called us to be a light to this world, to share the love of Christ. And we cannot do that if we hide away or move away from the people of this world. Now in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, we are described as pilgrims and sojourners. You see, this world is not our home. We are independent of those in this world who are blinded by the enemy and live for themselves. Now, we are not to love the things of this world, but we are called to love the people of this world. You may be familiar with a popular comedian named Nate Bargatze. Nate presents himself as your friend. He is never your enemy. He is always your friend. Someone you can talk to, someone you can listen to. People don't chase away those that they call their friends. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24 says, "A man who has friends must himself be friendly." Now, something that I admired from what I saw in Charlie Kirk over the last few years was that he showed himself friendly. He let people speak their minds. He shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he genuinely cared for others. And in the end, I have seen even those who were his enemies find the truth because of his testimony. Now, the only way that we can be friendly like this is to genuinely love the people of this world. And that starts by how we love our brothers and sisters in Christ. If we cannot love our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we cannot intercede in prayer on their behalf, then we will never love those who are lost in their sin. Nothing from the events of this week changes what God wants us to do. But it does, if nothing else, remind us of the importance of our message. And also reminds us of the limited time that we have to share our message. So let's start today by reading through this portion of Scripture to where we're beginning today. Please follow along in your Bibles as I read Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 9. It says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Now I want to look at today, I want to start here reviewing again verses 15 through 16. Now as I talked about last week, I believe that verse 16 is directly connected to verse 15, and that it is telling us how we can achieve the things in verse 15. Now look again with me, starting at verse 15. It says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep." Verse 16 says, "Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion." Now, if you remember last week, I discussed how this first word in verse 16, be, is not in the original language. Now, oftentimes when you see a word italicized in the Bible, it is showing a word that the translators thought would be a good connection to better explain the text. The verse actually begins, "of the same mind," which leads me to believe that verse 16 is an extension of verse 15. So let's look at this verse again. How do we rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep? By being of the same mind toward one another. Now again, how are we to be of the same mind? And understand, I bring us back to this point because it is so very important for us to embrace and apply in our lives. Now we are not aligning our minds with each other, but we are aligning our minds with God. And this makes all of the difference in our lives. We naturally consider ourselves, our own sinful flesh, before we consider others. But if we are aligned with the mind of God, then we will consider others by how God considers others. You see, in our own lives, we are motivated by what makes us feel good in the moment. We are affected by our emotions, by our feelings, by our taste buds, by our social status, by our financial desires, and by our passions. Notice all of the R's I have listed in this statement. Life is naturally about me, myself, and I. What do I want most? What is going to help me most? How can I be satisfied most? But when we are aligning our thinking with God's, we set aside me, myself, and I. And we instead start to ask different questions. Now, the right questions lead to the right answers. And as we align with God's thinking, we will have a greater desire to move forward in the way that God does and stop ourselves from focusing so much on what we want most out of life to positioning our thinking on what God wants most. For instance, go back with me to verse 9. "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good." Now we offer love at times in a deceitful manner, in a way that we are looking to get something out of it. We give and expect to be given in return. And yet God is instructing us through the Apostle Paul to hate that kind of thinking, to love generously, to hate that kind of evil thinking, and to cling to what is good. Now, how does our thinking change when we are aligned with God's thinking instead of our own? Verse 10 says, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another." Now, oftentimes we are affectionate only to certain people. We form these groups of friends that we will give honor to, but not to all of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And yet again, God, through the Apostle Paul, is instructing us to. Again, how does our thinking change when we are aligned with God's thinking instead of our own? When we approach Scripture, we often ask the question, what can I get out of this? How is this text speaking to me personally? Even where am I in this verse? But understand that when we align our thinking with God's, our questions are going to change. And here's a red flag moment for you to make note of. If your questions do not change, then you are not aligned with God's thinking. Now, instead of asking what I can get out of this, I need to be asking what God wants me to change. And remember what we discussed last week. It is not about you changing your mind and your opinion to align with someone else, but it is about you changing your thinking to be aligned with God. How does God want me to be thinking about His commands? How can I partner with God to what He wants to do, what He wants me to do? Now, when I ask these questions, I need to be taking a close look at God's Word. There is a common problem that I see with people, and that is their unwillingness to actually change. Now, they say that they want change. They declare that they're going to change. But the problem is that they leave this unspecified time frame open. So technically, they could change at some point in the next 40 years. But today is not the day that they are starting the process. They'll say, oh, I hope God will change me if He wants me to change. But God's not going to change you unless you actually start working on change. I have sat with Christians who have said to me, I don't know what God wants me to do with my life. And these people are searching. But the problem is that they're searching in all of the wrong places. They come to church, they'll go to the Bible study, they read their Bible, but they don't take God's Word off the page and implement it in their life. And do you know what God's will is for your life today? I'll tell you. God wants you today to implement in your life compassion towards each other. He wants you to be sincere and honest. He wants you to hate all forms of evil. He wants you to cling to what is good. He wants you to be kindly affectionate to each other. He wants you to give preference to your brothers and sisters in Christ, even over your blood relatives. God wants you to continually pray for your other brothers and sisters in Christ and to encourage each other. He wants you to enthusiastically serve alongside of each other for His glory. He wants you to rejoice in hope with your brothers and sisters in Christ, to be patient with each other as you and them go through tribulation, and to give generously to each other with an open heart. And how do I know that God wants that for your life today? Because He says so, right in His Word. Starting here in this text, Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 6. We need to look at God's Word sincerely and with priority. As we do these things, God will help us to see more and more His way of thinking. And it will be easier for us to take these things and expand on them in the lives of others. Now let's go back to verse 17 to see what other truths that God wants us to implement in our lives. It says, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Now, this is a hard verse to accept and really comply with automatically. This is not a natural response, but a learned response. When someone does something to us, we want to naturally do something back to them. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets." And by the way, the therefore is there to point you back to the previous verses, which are about giving good things and the right things to those who ask of you. Now, this verse is where we get the golden rule from: do unto others as you would want them to do to you. God wants us to focus on loving others and not hating others. And the problem is that it's only human, we might say, or only natural for us to hate someone who hates and persecutes us. Which is why Jesus says in Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 28, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you." Now, it's only natural that we should hate or disregard the people that treat us poorly, which is why we are being taught here in Romans 12 to keep moving forward in love. When you are treated poorly, instead of imagining how you'll get back at that person or how God may judge them for what they have done, instead pray for that person and continue to love them as God loves them. And again, that's not easy. It will take work. It will take hard practice. But the biggest piece here is prayer. If you can pray for that person with a whole heart out of love, God will change your thinking towards that person. And most of the time, that is not an instantaneous change either. But over time, He will change you to think as He thinks. So when you are treated poorly, even by another brother and sister in Christ, don't dwell on it. Instead, pray for that person and continue moving forward to love as God has called you to love. I can tell you from experience that the longer that we dwell on it, the longer it will pull us down. Look with me at verse 18. "If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men." Now, if it is in your hands to do so, be at peace with everyone. Now, make note here, you cannot blame someone else for upheaving your peace. You can't point the finger at someone and say it's their fault that you are not peaceable with them because of how they act or what they say. You always, always, always have the choice to react in a peaceable manner. Always. The ball is in your court to love that person just as much as it is in your court to be at peace with them. Look with me at verse 19. "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord.'" Now we continue in this same thought. Don't avenge yourselves. And this is hard. We want that mic drop moment where we get the last word in. And yet we're being taught to only be ambassadors for God's love. And this is important. And let's make this homework this week, in fact. How do you only be an ambassador of God's love? I'm going to ask that question of you next week after you have some time to think about it and pray about it, and even search the scriptures for an answer to that question. How are you an ambassador of God's love? Now look with me at verses 20 through 21. "Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, this is a great verse. It is actually a quote from Proverbs chapter 25, verses 21 through 22, which brings to light to us that the Old Testament has much to learn from it. It is not just the New Testament that we need to pay close attention to. Now, again, it is not natural for us to be so compassionate with our enemies that we would feed them and care for them. But something that I think is an important note for all of us is that we have a common enemy. That is Satan. Satan works to blind the eyes of so many in this world. And in reality, our enemies are under a delusion that what they are doing is good. And we need to attack them not physically, but we need to attack spiritually. We need to get to the source of the problem and do all that we can to uproot it so that they can be freed from their imprisonment with the enemy. God does all of the heavy lifting, but we need to be sharing scripture, praying and praying and praying for the lost and showing them love and compassion. When we are persecuted or attacked, when we are put down by someone else, even our own brother or sister in Christ, instead of fighting back, which is our natural response, we need to love them. We need to be generous to them and we need to pray for them. Now, it's a lot easier to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ and even be more understanding with them when we know how and what to pray for. When we invest in the lives of those in our Christian family, we will see more accomplished for the Lord. We need to love our brothers and sisters in Christ, which will teach us to love others, to pray for others, to share the love of Jesus with others. That needs to be our goal in life. And don't wait for some time down the road to do that. We have a limited amount of time here on the earth to share the love of Christ. Let's go out and be ambassadors of God's love this week and learn what that means. Let me pray for you today. Lord and Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us to focus our attention not on what we want most out of this world, Lord, but what you want most. I pray, Lord, that today that we would consider not fighting back against our enemy, but instead opening the scriptures with our enemy and sharing the love of you. Being a friend to all people. Lord, you haven't called us to go fight our enemy with a sword. You have called us to take the scripture to our enemy with a spiritual sword. The spiritual sword that cuts into our flesh, that breaks down the barriers in our hearts and shows us who you truly are. Lord, help us to be ambassadors of love for you this week and help us to better understand what that means. In your name I pray these things. Amen.